Stay tuned as Kenneth A. Fletcher interviews our special guest on today's broadcast.
I'm on the phone with Dr. Norman Campbell of Melbourne, Australia. And Brother Campbell is an ordained minister, Doctor of Divinity, and he's ministered all around the world for almost 30 years. He's a former policeman, a sales manager, and used to be a dance hall bouncer. And he's an author of two Bible courses and several manuals. In his ministry, Brother Campbell has had many terminal illnesses that have been healed by God's power, as well as six people raised from the dead. And I want to welcome my good friend, Dr. Norman Campbell, to the Road to Faith broadcast. Welcome, Brother Campbell.
Well, and praise the Lord, Brother Campbell. We're so glad to be with you. Praise God today.
Well, praise the Lord. We're just thrilled to have this. I believe this is our first international interview. So you're a first on the broadcast.
Hey, well, we've pioneered a few things over the years.
Hallelujah. I was wondering, Dr. Campbell, how was it that you ended up getting started into the ministry so many years ago?
Well, we could take the whole broadcast time to tell you that, but I'll try and make it very simple and succinct for you. When I was in Ireland, because that's where I'm from originally, I had been a policeman, but then had began working in dance halls while I was a policeman doing, I don't know if you folks over there would understand this phrase, but I used to moonlight. That means that I did something else apart from my regular work to make extra money. And so I was moonlighting as a bouncer in clubs and pubs and things like that. And basically the job was that I had to beat people up who would misbehave. You know, and I enjoyed that. I wasn't a Christian, of course, in those days, you understand.
Yeah.
But I was married to a Christian girl, and she used to pray for me, and, you know, she never really left the tracks around or put them on the pillow or the toilet or anything like that, but she would pray for me. And one of these times I had left the police and gone into the bouncing business on a full-time basis because I made much better money as a bouncer than I did as a policeman. And I had a motor accident and ended up in hospital. I spent 14 months in hospital, had 14 major operations on my left leg because it was broken in five places. And after all of these operations, it was about 2.5 inches or 5 centimeters in the new things, 2.5 inches short. And but my wife, she prayed for me while I was in the hospital, and all during this hospitalization, she'd pray and she'd say, "Oh God, I want you to save my husband. I want you to heal my husband. And oh yes, Lord, please clean up his mouth." And that was how she prayed. Yeah, because I used to have quite a turn of language. And God, thank God these days, he changed it a little bit. But what happened was she prayed, and really there was nothing that happened for the first 13 months. She was praying in hope, believing that somehow or other something might just happen. She came from a Pentecostal background, from the Four Square Gospel. The Elam churches was her background. Her father had sat in meetings with Smith Wigglesworth many years previously, and so she had quite a heritage. But she was, after all of this period of time, she was reading in the Word one night about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, because she liked the Word, and she was reading this night in the Word of God, and she came on a verse in John chapter 14, in verse 13 and 14, and these are the words of Jesus. He said, "And whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now when she read that, suddenly the Holy Spirit gave her insight, a revelation, knowledge, and quickened in her heart were several other scriptures like, "God is not a man that he should lie," and things like that. And suddenly she realized, "Oh, I've been asking God to do something, but all the time I should be asking and thanking and saying, okay, I receive it." And she got a revelation of receiving by faith and not going on asking and asking and asking. And so she said, "Okay, Lord, this is it. I'm going to ask you this last time. I'm going to pray. Heal my husband, save my husband, clean up his mouth. In Jesus' name, I receive it." And she went to bed and fell fast asleep and slept all the rest of the night through. And the next day when she came to visit me in the hospital, as she came down the ward, I saw her coming. And, you know, suddenly my eyes, as it were opened. This is this is from my side of the story.
Yeah.
I looked at her and I thought, I really love this girl. Now, I've been telling her that for a number of years, but suddenly she seemed different. And when she came down to me, I found the first thing I said to her was, honey, would you bring me a Bible? Now, she'd been praying for 13 months, God, do something, God, do something, God, do something. But the moment she received by her faith, God did it. And she brought a Bible to me. I looked at the Bible, you know, the next day or the day after, all the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and all the otherites. It didn't mean a thing to me.
Yeah.
And so eventually, to cut a very long story short, I got her to bring her minister in to see me. He was an Elam minister. He came, he led me to Christ, and within a matter of 2 weeks, I'd had another operation, was led out of hospital, and 9 years later, in 1971, I came to Australia as a registered disabled person, walking on a built-up shoe, using a walking stick, and not having any real future, any hope. I was born again, spirit-filled and all of that, but, you know, really hadn't got any victory and no nothing to look forward to, but wanted to get out of Ireland for the sake of my two little children at that stage. And so we came to Australia. I went to a meeting in a Pentecostal church. We had been going along to a Baptist church, you know, just to check things out. Went to a Pentecostal church, an evangelist was visiting the church, and through a set of circumstances, which would take forever to tell, I got in front of this evangelist by helping someone else on the platform.
Mm-hmm.
The evangelist laid his hands on me, and in an instant of time, God put back into my leg 2.5 inches of bone that the doctors had taken out 9 years previously in Ireland.
My
had a miracle.
Now, at this point, you had gone up the front, not for yourself, but for somebody else, to help somebody else up, and the Lord singled you out for a miracle for you.
Yeah, that's right. There was a lady in a wheelchair, and she couldn't get on the platform, so I, having been a dance hall bouncer and, you know, done weight training and all of that, I took the back of this wheelchair and hoisted her onto the platform and, you know, just stood there. But then she wheeled herself across to the other side after the evangelist prayed for her, and he said, what do you want? So he came up, I came up, he prayed for me. God did the miracle in my life, and the evangelist spoke into my life, and this is what he said. He gave me my calling, and the calling was this, that I was to take God's word to God's people and take God's people from where they were in their experience to where God said they were in his word. So that was my calling into ministry. I then went to Bible school. I didn't go to Bible college. I went to Bible school and trained and eventually came into the ministry. Was an evangelist because I had a testimony. And then, you know, I'd go to meetings and I'd see the same people night after night after night. I had a following. They would follow me around, want to see all the things God was doing. And eventually we thought, well, there's no point in us traveling around the country having a busload of people following us. Let's start a meeting and they can all come to the one place.
That makes sense.
That's basically how we pioneered our first church.
Yeah.
That church, of course, has gone on. There's about 300 people in it now. But over the years, that's since 1971, but over the years we've pioneered several other churches, including we've been involved in helping set up a couple in the U.S. and other places as well. So God called us into the ministry and gave us that very distinct call to take his word to his people. And of course, you know, over the time, someone came to me one time and said, oh, you've been listening to Kenneth Hagin. And I said, who on earth is Kenneth Hagin? I've never heard of the man. And they gave me a little booklet about In Him, I think it was. And I read the book and I thought, what a wonderful little book. So I wrote to Brother Hagin and said, Brother Hagin, you know, someone gave me a little book. It's really great. Thank you very much. Keep it up. You're doing a good job.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was, you know, me writing to Kenneth Hagin.
You didn't know anything about him at that point, except for the little book. Yeah.
Didn't know who he was, but he wrote back very graciously and encouraged me. And, you know, that's really how we came into all of this, because God gave me this message of faith in my heart. And you see, I realized that everything that is by faith is by the word.
Yeah.
And so we started teaching this. Now, we were ostracized in Australia because
out of the mainstream sort of teaching at that point. Nobody was teaching along those lines.
There was nobody teaching. And about, we had been going in this little church we started probably for about 18 months, and it was not going terribly well, but it was, you know, plodding along. And and people would come and people would go, and we got a call then from a young man with an American accent who turned out to be Mark Brzee.
Oh, yeah.
And,
he's a salt figure.
He was in Australia doing some things for Brother Hagen, and there was supposed to be a college open up, but it didn't happen. But Brother Hagen told him to come and minister for us. Because he had gone into his files, dug out my name from his files. So he came with this word from Brother Hagen, go preach for a man called Norman Campbell, because he's the only man in Australia who's teaching faith.
Mm-hmm. And this time it was true, yeah.
Mark Brzee came along and spent 10 meetings with us, he and Janet. And in 10 meetings, he said almost word for word everything that I'd preached for the past 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone who came along said, oh my, it must be true. This American guy saying the same thing. And so it wasn't a question of what does the word say, it's what did this American guy say. And so God used Mark Brzee to get us established again and encouraged us. And so
that was wonderful how the Lord confirmed your message that he gave you from his word.
That's right.
And then sent a man all the way from across the world and was saying the same thing. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing. You see, it's the same word and the same God.
Yeah, amen. But, same Holy Spirit.
But Brother Kenneth, the interesting thing today is there are people, many people in Australia today who are preaching, and I use this quote-unquote word of faith message, and they're the same ones who, 30 years ago were saying, no, we don't want to hear any of that stuff.
Hmm.
Now they're in it right up to the neck.
I guess they found out it works after all.
Some of them still don't want to talk to me.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to be back with Brother Norman Campbell, and we're going to have a great time again with Dr. Norman Campbell on the telephone from Melbourne, Australia. And I trust that you're enjoying the conversation as much as I am. What a joy to have you on the broadcast, Brother Campbell.
Well, we're thrilled to be with you, Brother Campbell. It's great.
Hallelujah. God has done some extraordinary things your life, and I just wanted to touch real quick. We covered a lot of ground there in the last segment, but I was very interested to get your reflections on what happened when the evangelist laid his hands upon you and you received that miracle of that of the leg that was short. What happened exactly then, brother?
Well, when that evangelist laid his hands on me, it was interesting because I didn't go for myself, I went to help. And over the years, again, I've discovered that if you're willing to give, then God always will give back to you much more than you expect. And as he laid his hands on me, he just began to pray and began to speak over me. And when he did that, my leg, it's my left leg, it just simply gave a crack, how sometimes people can crack their knuckles.
Yeah.
That sort of noise, and that's what it sounded like, and my leg just cracked, and I had been wearing a built-up shoe previous to this, and I'd gotten a little frustrated by wearing the shoe, because people would look at it, because I still have it, I have it in my office here, and I carry it with me sometimes when I travel.
As a reminder.
For testimony.
Yes.
And I'd taken it off just a few days before going to this meeting, and the evangelist said to me, after he prayed with me, he first of all asked me what my problem was. I told him I had a short leg and told him about the accident. And he said, would you know if God has healed you? I said, oh, yeah, because, my heel was swinging clear of the floor. And he said, well, swing your leg. And every time I swung my leg with my normal shoe on, my heel was hitting the floor. And so I said, hey, man, my heel's hitting the floor. And then he gave me this word from God. He said, God's done this miracle because he's put the word in your heart and you have to go and take his word to his people. So on, like I told you previously.
Yeah.
And so it was just really like my leg just cracked, and God just replaced the bone in it, because after all, he's the creator.
Just instantaneously.
Instantaneous.
Just in a second of time.
Just in a second of time.
Your leg was as normal as it was before your accident.
That's right. Now, I've still got scars in it, obviously, because I had gangrene in the leg. They were going to cut the leg off at one time, so it was really serious.
Oh,
and I've got a huge hole in the front of my leg that you could put a matchbox into.
Where they operated on. How many? You said they had several operations.
14.
14.
Yeah. And I want you to know something. Every one of them hurt.
I'll bet.
You know, but yet when God did it, it didn't hurt a bit.
Didn't hurt when he did it.
No, it didn't hurt a bit when God did it.
Hallelujah.
I tell you, every time the doctor cut me open, it hurt.
Yeah.
And I'm just so thrilled that, you know, I'm linked into a covenant with my Father, a covenant making God.
Yeah.
And he's taking care of me these days. You know, I'm getting older, but the anointing is getting stronger on our life and on our teaching. Because the anointing's on the Word to accomplish whatever God says. And I quite often, I do a lot of leadership seminars. When I talk with leaders, I tell them, I said, now if I'm preaching on salvation, the anointing is here for people to be saved. If I'm preaching on healing, the anointing is here for people to be healed. If I preach on prosperity, the anointing is here for prosperity.
Amen.
God's anointing is on His Word, and it'll produce whatever He says.
That's right. And so it
was exciting for me because, you know, I really never had a desire within me to be in the ministry. But yet when God healed me, He put the desire in me and called me to it. And my wife is the one who really, you know, has had the church background. I really had little or no background in church at all.
Mm-hmm.
When I testify, I say that my folks were Presbyterian people, I mean good people.
Mm-hmm.
But they went to church religiously twice a year. That was Easter and Harvest Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that was my background.
Yeah. A lot of people
I, that I didn't like church, wasn't interested in it, uh-huh. and thought it a waste of time. But, you know, since I got saved and healed and so on, filled with the Spirit, and God touched me and called me, it's hardly a day goes past, but I'm not in church somewhere in the world, you know. I tell people I've had more church services than some people have had hot breakfast.
Well, that's the same thing for us,
yeah.
is a hot breakfast and a hot service with
yeah,
the Spirit and the Word. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
My. It's wonderful.
So it's exciting, you know, to be a recipient of a miracle.
Yeah.
I've proved it.
You know it.
My life is, you know, a lot of people say, well, I believe it when I see it. I said, no, you got to believe it and then you'll see it.
That's right.
You know, so it's, but Jesus gave, as Ephesians 4 says, He gave gifts. And the anointed man, you know, to go and make a covenant with the world on his behalf. And that's really what I'm all about. I'm trying to get people into his word.
Yeah.
See, the reality of the word, you know this, Brother Kenneth, the word is so real and so vital. It's life. It's life to those that find them and health to all of their flesh.
Yeah.
So, you know, my whole function and calling is to get people into the word, back into the book for themselves. You know, to just become what God has said they are, to take people from where they are in their experience and get them into all that God says they have, what their rights are. Oh, it just excites me to see people come up to what God says they are. You know, I get excited when people get revelation. You know, the lights come on.
Yeah.
I didn't see that before.
Yes. You know, we minister some quite often in a place, in a resort area, not too far from here. There's a lot of denominational people, wonderful people, saved people, most always, and from a variety of denominational, old line denominational backgrounds. And oh, what a joy it is for me to be able to present to them faith in the Word, and we stay along the same lines, you know.
That's right.
They preach along the same lines as you, and it's wonderful to see the light come on and they get to where they're thinking, that's right. You know, this is real.
You can
depend on God. Yeah, you can act on His Word, you know.
That's for sure.
Oh, praise God.
It's exciting.
Yes, you know, it is.
Most of our ministry today is with people who are already born again, and like 90% of them are already Spirit-filled. 90% of them or more, maybe 95 or 97% of them are already involved in Pentecostal works along the way. But yet, when we begin to teach them truth about the new creation and righteousness and things like that, their eyes just pop open and say, oh, I never saw that before.
Yeah.
And that's new. I said, no, it's not new. It's been there all along. Just you haven't had the opportunity or not been exposed to it, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, I know the Lord has used you mightily.
Yeah.
Along those lines, that's the focus of your ministry, isn't it? Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll come back right after this song.
Stay tuned for more powerful faith-building ministry on the Road of Faith.
We're on the phone with Dr. Norman Campbell from Melbourne, Australia, and just enjoying such a beautiful time of sharing the day. Thank you for being on the broadcast, Brother Campbell. We just really appreciate you taking the time.
Hey, Brother, it's my pleasure. I guess the folks in the U.S. especially may not realize it's the middle of the night, I think, with you. like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. But it's 6:30 in the evening with me in Australia. So we're about 15, 16 hours ahead of you.
Yeah.
So we see the sunrise before you do. But we are actually right now in our midwinter, and it's been quite cold, whereas you guys are sort of heading into your summer, and you're in the middle of summer, or pretty close to the middle of summer, I guess. This year, I think I've felt the cold more. I think it's not because I'm getting older, but because it's been colder.
It's just been colder.
Yeah, Australia has been much colder this winter. People think of Australia, especially American folks, they think of Australia as being all sunshine.
Yeah.
And much of it is all sunshine, but we live in the southern end of Australia, it gets quite cold here. It gets down to 1 or 2 degrees at night in the winter, as it is now, and it's just dropped in this last hour. It's dropped down quite cold. So we've got the heat on at the moment, too. But, you know,
I remember speaking with you back in, I believe it was like January here from Tulsa, and you were talking about, we're out in our shorts in the sunshine, and we're going to the beach, and I'm thinking, wow, I didn't realize it was that much of a difference.
It was cold
out here, you know.
It's exactly the opposite. You know, when you got sunshine, we're probably in the winter, but vice versa. When you guys got snow on the ground, our Christmas, it's hard to get used to. When we first came here to have Christmas Day, we've been used to snow and so forth in the United Kingdom, and in Ireland, where I come from, we're used to having snow at Christmas like you do. But to have a day at the beach on Christmas Day, and you know, you don't have generally a hot meal, you have to have cold cuts and things like that. Although we are a little traditional, we do tend to go for a turkey and have plum pudding and all the rest. But even if it is hot, we just go ahead and have it.
Still felt great.
You're a bit of a traditionalist.
Yeah.
But we need to minister to some of your folks.
Yes, amen, brother. I'll tell you, people need the touch of God in their lives.
Yeah.
I know that there are many people that tune in this broadcast, and of course we email out notices to about 700 or 800 people
right
now, and so we know that they are forwarding the messages out, not to mention the people that find us by way of the search engine.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we do our regular newsletters with the Fletcher Faith Ministries, the Road of Faith newsletter. We do an actual mailing here in America.
Yeah.
And so there's many hundreds of those that go out all over America. So many people are tuning into the broadcast and hearing your voice, brother. And the Spirit of God wants to minister and touch their lives and just be led and
okay.
Do what you feel the Spirit wants you to do, brother.
Hallelujah. Well, let me just give you a little testimony. When I was in England a couple of years ago, I was on a broadcast out of Stoke-on-Trent, a program that's linked into Brother Bob Gass's ministry from down in Atlanta. I think he calls it The Word for Today.
Yeah.
And they interviewed me there, particularly about people who had been raised from the dead. And we, as you said in your introduction, we've seen 6 people raised from the dead. And everyone, of course, wants to know how did that happen and what happened, etc. But, you know, Jesus did say that we were to go forth and minister to the sick and raise the dead and so forth. But just so people understand that we really only ever have raised the dead where God has said, if you will do what I tell you, I'll give that person back their life. I have buried other people.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of doing what the Lord says, just
yeah.
like Jesus said, I only do the things my Father tells me to do.
Yeah.
And I've tended to base my ministry on that statement of Jesus, that I like to do what God says, not what the need necessarily may be. But when I was in England several years ago and did this broadcast from Stoke-on-Trent, they asked me a lot of questions. People would ring in to the broadcast saying they had this need or the other need or whatever, and we'd pray for them. But part of what God has given me by way of word of knowledge has been an insight into scripture, that I can give people scriptures for a lot of conditions that they may be suffering in their bodies. And I can tell them what God has to say about that in His Word. Because, see, the Word is already anointed. The anointing is on the Word.
Yes.
And if we will give the Word, then we can receive what the Word says we can have. And so, I mean, the most natural thing to do in the world when you're knocked down is to get up again.
That's right.
After, so people need to know how to get up and get on with it, because whatever the Word says, that's the final authority.
Amen.
And one particular incident I just feel I want to relate to you very quickly. I know time is limited, but someone rang in from, I think it was in France, when I was in England. They were listening to the program right the way down to North Africa. I mean, that's a big area to cover. People
yeah.
all over the United Kingdom and France, most of Europe and Holland and all of that, and then right down into Africa. And this person rang in and gave the condition. I shared some scripture with him. And then we had a woman ring in from Ireland. And I was going to Ireland the next week. And so this woman rang in and said, my husband is an alcoholic, and can you help me? And I said, well, we just pray about it. And I gave her several scriptures that were on my heart. And I told her, I said, no, I'll be in Ireland next week, and I'll be at such and such a church. When I went to that church the next week, that woman turned up at the church. And this is the week after that.
Uh-huh.
And I'd been on the program on a Friday. And when she came to that church, she said, I want to give a testimony. And she said, I spoke to Dr. Campbell on the phone. He gave me some scripture about my husband who is an alcoholic. And she said, he got up on a Saturday morning. This is the day after we'd been on the radio program. And he said, I think I've got a problem with alcohol. I'm going to go to AA. And since that time, then, like, it was only a few days, he'd gone to AA, began to get his life straightened out, and was deciding to go to church with his wife. He didn't come to that particular meeting. But, you know, God touched the man as a result of the Word. And as I've just been talking with you, Brother Kenneth, I can't help but someone who's listening to your program right now, and they're having problems with their breathing. And I believe it's like an asthma condition, you know, where when they breathe, it's very, you know, deep, and you can hear, they can hear their breathing very deeply. Now, the Word of God declares in Acts chapter 17 and verse 25 that God gives life and breath to every living thing. In Lamentations 3 and verse 56, it says, turn not away your ear from the sound of my breathing. So there's two scriptures that all they really have to do is write those two scriptures. All of my quotes, by the way, are King James version. So if they write those two scriptures out in full on a card, a 3x5 card, and put it on their refrigerator, on the bathroom door, on the mirror in the bathroom, on the dashboard of the car, and meditate on the Word, one of these days the Word will produce in them what it says, that they won't have the breathing problem. Someone else, and they've got a blood pressure problem, a high blood pressure problem. And God's word for them is Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 6. King James says, when I passed by thee, saw thee polluted in your own blood, I said, you live and not die. So that person with the high blood pressure problem, you're going to live, you're not going to die,
right,
if you take the medicine, which is the word of God. Ezekiel 16, 6. Someone else has a problem with diabetes, and that also is a blood problem.
Yeah.
God's word for diabetes is Joel chapter 3 and verse 21, and that says, I will cleanse the blood that I have not cleansed, so your blood can be cleansed by the word of God. Joel 3:21. Now just let me say this, one other thing that's quickened in my heart right now, if someone has a balance problem, and sometimes they feel like they're going to fall over,
inner ear.
It's something to do with their inner ear.
Yeah, yeah.
And Proverbs 11:1 says, a false balance is an abomination to God. So God doesn't want them to have a false balance. He wants them to be balanced. But Micah chapter 7 and verse 8 says, when I fall, I shall arise. So there are two scriptures that one can take and meditate on and think about and chew over and think. You know, this is what God says. Now, I'm taking God's word over everyone else's word. Just a couple of other things that are quickened to me right now. One is, for someone who's got a problem in their knees, their knees crack. You know, sometimes people's knees just give a little crack when they stand up or sit down. So Job chapter 4 and verse 4, Job 4:4 says, I will strengthen the feeble knees. And just one other one that this one was close to my own heart, because over the years I have carried excess weight, not excessively, but too much. And I was really praying one day, and I said, Lord, I need to do something about this weight, you know, get my weight down. And it's not that the problem has never been that I overeat. I don't. I try to be very sure about what I eat. And my wife, Elizabeth, she makes me eat fruit and all the rest, but won't let me eat McDonald's too much. But I found a scripture, and it really was a blessing to me, and I just want to read it to you. I'm just actually turning to it now, so I give it to you correctly. But if you suffer from a weight problem, or you're overweight, it's Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 15, and this is what it says: but thou shalt have a perfect weight and a just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Yeah.
Read that again, that's interesting. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
That thy days may be lengthened.
Yeah, so, you know, that really ministered to me, and I started applying it to my life, and so my weight has gradually come down. And a faith without works is dead. You know, so we have to do a little bit of the works as well. We walk and do all the right things. But see, there are scriptures in the Word for every situation. In fact, one of my manuals, which is called How to Handle Life's Problems, it deals with all kinds of things like worry, depression, fear, loneliness, how to face death, etc., etc., etc. And the last 40 or so pages in that, I give all of these scriptures that the Lord has given me over the last 20 or so years for all of these conditions, you know, just, well, maybe not hundreds, but dozens of conditions that I mention there and give all the relevant scriptures for them.
I'll tell you, the Word is alive.
So the Word is alive. Hallelujah, brother.
Hallelujah. Now, if you were one that Dr. Campbell mentioned, your condition that you are suffering from, or there's the problem that you're suffering, listen. Those were just not for somebody. Those were for you.
That's right.
You grab hold of that, and you write those scriptures down. Now, this broadcast will be on demand, so you can roll the tape back. I guess you can go back and listen to it again and be sure to write these scriptures down, because those were for you, and God wanted those specifically for you. Why? He loves you. He wants you healed. He wants you loved. He wants you well, and he wants you blessed. He wants you to know that he cares about you.
That's right.
And he used Brother Campbell as his instrument to get that message to you today. So grab hold of that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, Brother Campbell, you've been teaching faith for all of these years. And I tell you, this message of faith in the Word is just me. I guess so many people came against it, but the only thing I can think of why anybody would come against this positive, life-giving word of faith message is that they're threatened somehow by it. But it's life, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's life to those that find it.
Yes. And
well, the scripture says, he that hath the Son hath life.
Yes.
And of course, the Son is the Word.
Amen. Jesus is the Word.
Yeah.
And he and the Word are one. Praise
Amen.
God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, it's been such a joy. Dr. Campbell, thank you again for being on our broadcast today. And I know that many, many, many people have been blessed by your ministry. And I've just enjoyed it. I would love to do it again as soon as possible, brother.
Oh, well, one of these days, I'll tell you, we'll do a face-to-face one.
That'll be better.
Because we'll be there in Tulsa one of these days, and we'll just talk face-to-face. In fact, we'll just get a camera lined up and go on TV.
Okay, then that would be even better.
And we'll do that.
We'll just plan to do that.
Yeah.
So
do some things together.
That'll be wonderful. And I told you earlier, I wanted, before you know we start the taping, that I wanted to come and visit your beautiful country, and always.
Well, you have an invitation.
Oh, thank you, brother. I want to check one of them beaches out you were talking about. those beautiful 14-mile-long beaches. Hey, oh, my.
I wish I was on one of those beaches right now.
Amen. Well, thank you again, Brother Campbell.
And
we love you and your wife, Elizabeth. And we just appreciate you so much.
Praise the Lord, brother.
Hallelujah. Well, what was that again?
I said, God bless you. We appreciate you. And thank you for the folks who have contacted us regarding our weekly email. A number of people have contacted us.
Let's take
us.
A minute and talk about that. How can people get your free newsletter email, brother?
Yeah, they can just, if they send me an email and tell me that they heard me on the Fletcher Faith Ministries or the Word of Faith newsletter, the Road of Faith newsletter, I will put them on our list. We send out a weekly newsletter by email to a number of thousands of people in 33 countries nowadays, and you can contact us. My email address is ncam, that's four letters, ncam, at hotlinks.net.au. That's ncam at hotlinks.net.au. Just send it straight to me and I'll put you on the list, and you'll get a newsletter every week with the Good Faith Study in it.
Okay, brother. Hey, another thing is that your new website, and that may be a little easier for people to get.
Of course, we're
going to have a link to your site soon, but go ahead and give that to them.
Okay, we have a new website just gone up, and it's www.normancampbell.org.
.org. Yes, that's an easy
normancampbell.org.
Yes, and that way they can sign up for the newsletters there.
Yeah, they can see all our material there.
We're lots of good stuff.
Updating it regularly, and we're going to start putting photographs on it as soon as we get the software arranged to do that.
Oh, man, it's a blessing. I was over there not right the other day, and you're doing a wonderful work there, so we'd love to get many
Well, minutes. We appreciate you, my brother. You're a blessing, too.
Thank you, brother, and we appreciate you. All right, brother, we'll be talking to you soon.
Okay, just before you go, brother, just let me tell you, I have a gift in the mail for you and your dear wife that will probably be there in about a week.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you, brother.
Hey, that's all right. You'll enjoy it when you get it.
Oh, that is so kind of you. Thank you very much. I know we'll appreciate that.
Well, the word says giving, it'll be given unto you.
That's right. Amen.
We just love to give.
Well, I know that's true. And, we appreciate you so much.
Okay, brother. God bless you.
God bless